Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this radio program is being recorded for December 12th, 2020. We're going to be looking at how do I's. I love these questions that I get from people. They're very, very interesting. I get these long, long emails from people regarding what I talk about, inner work, why do it, what is inner work anyway, the threat of it. You know, there's always all sorts of opposition people have to looking at themselves and understanding who and what they are. So when I get these emails, I save them and I use them for input later on. And this is the later on. So I take excerpts out of them and share them with you. And normally it has to do with something I've talked about either in a commentary or on a radio program or on one of my TV programs that you can view on the website at aspire.org. So it's all there for you, and I get some really interesting insights. I want to share with you something, and I don't know how else to say this to you, but you have to learn how to, we all do, live with ourselves. And how we live with ourselves and how we orientate ourselves to live with the kind of person that we have become is a very, very important thing. I don't know how you live with yourself. I don't know how you live with all aspects of your persona, how you view your bias and your prejudice. That's the way most people live with themselves, is out of bias and prejudice. So I don't know how you do that. It is not for me to say. But what I'm trying to do here is help you learn how to transcend yourself, not just live with the guilt, the shame, the whatever you're living with. I'm here to try to help you understand the nature of your life, the nature of your heart, the nature of your being. So it is more important for me as a person, as a teacher, to help you along that pathway of awakening. It is not about what is right. And will all of my techniques and the things that I offer work on everyone? No, it won't. It all depends on the level of your mental acuity, your emotional acuity, your bias, the things you believe in, the things that you're willing to jettison. There's all sorts of different ways of looking at it. So it won't work on everyone. I know spiritual practice does. You have to be ready for it. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. And if that hasn't occurred to you yet, then what I'm going to say isn't going to mean much. But for those of you who maybe are looking at your life from a different perspective and you want to understand the nature of your life and possibly the bigger picture of your life, I think you'll find what I have to offer here today helpful. First question comes from Terry. She lives in Los Angeles. She says, how do I fix my mind? You say our minds are broken. Can they be fixed, Terry? Yes, Terry, they can be. And anyone can do it, but. You have to be really, really devoted. You have to be really centered. You have to be really convinced inside yourself that your mind is broken, that it does need work, that it needs an overhaul, as it were, and that you are willing to go through the measures of it. Now, here is the big problem with most people. They're not going to do that. They don't want to believe that. They can't understand that. So the motivation is typically wrong. And then, of course, along with that motivation comes the horsepower, as I like to call it, the energy, the zeal to do it. And most people, I have found in my 50 years of being a teacher, They don't have that at all. They're not even interested. They're only interested in feeding their mind what their emotions dictate to them and hunger and thirst for. So with that all being said, and I know you think that probably sounds negative, I'm just giving you the reality of the given situation that we all find ourselves in. Let us go to how to fix the mind. First of all, you must understand there is the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. Much of our mischief in our life is based in our unconscious mind. There are things going on down there in that unconscious that most of us just simply do not know exists. Every act, every single memory of your childhood, starting from your birth and even past that, if you want to get really metaphysical, all live inside of us. So deep in my unconscious mind, there is what brought me into this world. Terry, there are certain elements of my being that brought me here, made me an entity. An entity is something that is a part of this life experience. If you were to come to this earth and take a look at the earth and the people that live here, I am an entity. I came the way normal people come, you know, through biological means, sexual intercourse, that whole thing. And my parents didn't particularly love each other, so I can't say I was born out of love or out of even affection. I was born with my mother and father. I was conceived to be the fixer. My mother thought my father would love her more or be more attentive towards her if they had a child, la la la, the typical 1950s mentality. So with that being said, I garnered a body out of that. That body was one that is inherited through all sorts of past life experiences, huge misdemeanors in my past life that brought me here into this body as an entity. You have to understand that. If you don't understand that or you can't accept that, that's too much for you, then the rest won't mean a single thing to you. Not a single thing. So I am born Gregory Edward Penn, the entity. You were born Terry, the entity. Inside of us is the past life experiences, our mischief, our assumed karma. We all have karma. So we have all of this going on. We enter into the body. The mind starts to do what it's supposed to do in this body, which is generate a conscious mind. This conscious mind is based on the premise of right and wrong, good and bad. Survival instinct. It belongs to the body. It belongs to your emotionality. Hence, it is going to be a mind that is tainted towards fear all the time. Afraid, afraid, afraid. Afraid I won't eat. Afraid I won't find a place to live. Afraid I won't have the money to survive. Blah, blah, blah. All of that kind of stuff. And this pulsates in and throughout my entire body and affects the way I think. There you are. All of that is going on, and there are things that go on inside of my brain, my unconscious mind, memories, situations, conditions, beliefs, biases, prejudices, rights, wrongs, good, bad, all that lives in my unconscious mind. And I call them up without even knowing I'm doing it in any given situation to survive the situation, to survive my life. It is all about survival. It is not about beauty, love, whatever. Even what you and I call love is not love. It is survival. I marry this person to survive. I divorce this person to survive. I live in everything I do, work, job, whatever, to survive. That's it. Now, how do you fix a mind like that? That's where the mind is pointed. Terry, there has to be a little tiny part of us, an inclination, as it were, where we ask ourselves, there is more to all of this, isn't there? There has to be more. Now, how you deal with that more, how you look at that more, if you have an inclination that there is something other than the way my body, your body, runs our lives as an entity and surprises us with unconscious fear, greed, anger, hatred, whatever, if you have that inkling and you've had enough of your own sickness, you see that your mind is sick and it is shown to you through bias and prejudice, you start to look at it and go, why am I thinking this way? Why do I have this kind of thought or that kind of thought? What is going on? How did I arrive at the thoughts I have in order to live with myself? Now, when you start to see that and realize that, and most people can't and won't, that's when you start to be suspicious that your mind is sick. Because you begin to look at all the things you've done, said, gone through, and you see how you handled it. Sometimes with pride, vengeance, anger, hostility, self-righteousness, trying to obliterate someone or something in your life that you think did you wrong or whatever. You have to see how all of this works. And if you can recognize it and see it for what it is, you will start to understand that your mind is sick. And as Lhotse said, we must all be sick of our sickness. To get to that place, then, the first thing you will do, or will recognize you have to do, is you have to stop talking to your mind. You have to stop talking to it, not thinking. People think, oh, meditation is about not thinking. No, it isn't. No. It's the dialogue between whatever is what I call myself and my brain. And most people can't separate the two. So the first thing you've got to do, and you may spend an entire lifetime on this, is realizing there's you and there's your thinking. There's you and there's the way you think. Over and over and over again, watching, you develop a witness, something that watches all this, but does not engage. Engage in the process of the thinking of it. So you just observe, observe, observe. You do not talk back to your mind. You do not have conversations with it. You let your mind babble on, but you are just watching. You are not making an assertion, a judgment. You are not doing any of that. You are just letting your mind be the mind. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. As you develop this kind of thinking, which is not thinking, it's what we call a no mind, you will develop a new mind, a no mind. A mind not predicated on thinking of what is right and wrong, good and bad. The Buddha talked about this in his Diamond Sutra. And it is very important for you and me to understand how that all works. Simply by withdrawing my attentions, my desire, my ambition, my pride, by withdrawing my attention away from the mind and simply observing it, I create a new mind. It isn't a fix, it's a transcendence. And if you can practice this, you will see that instead of being and living your life and how you live your life as a result of your hatred, your ignorance, your pain, your past, your sorrow, whatever, your hopes, your dreams, you will be living from the results of silence. That will change many, many things in you. That's the beginning of how you fix your mind. Oy vey, huh? It can be done. You can do this. It just takes practice. Terry, I hope that helps you as a beginning. And please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Abel. He lives in New York City. How do I fix my life? It is broken in so many ways. Abel. Well, Abel, I would say from the beginning, I don't know what you call your life. If what you call your life are circumstances and conditions, then that has to be looked at. Life is not what's coming at us. Life is not what comes to us or at us. Life is what it is. And that is, it isn't about going left or right or up or down. It is about a gap, a pause, a space between this and that. I know I sound very flaky here, but there are no other words. It is about what lives in the middle road. It is about that space and that gap between our thoughts, between our words. It is the gap and the pause between our breath in and our breath out. It is there that you find your life. It is without thought. It is without ambition. It is without pride. It is without the DNA. It is without the influence of genetics. It is the pause, the gap that everyone ignores. And a lot of people, frankly, Abel, are afraid of it. They're afraid of that pause and that gap. So they don't really go into it. They don't know how to go into it. So if you want to fix your life, you have to go to the source of where your life comes from. I would assume, and this is a Greg Penn assumption based on no truth whatsoever, that your life is assumed to be the events and the circumstances that come to you. You probably are living the result of your emotionality, your fears, your anger, your pride, your vanity, all of that. None is very good. When you learn how to see the gap and the pause between all of that, and you're willing to have a sanctity to your life rather than going out and just without regard, haphazardly living your life from one event to another, we call that monkey mind, monkey living, where you live from one event to another, from one circumstance to another. It's one thing after another for most people. To live in that one thing after another is deeply, deeply painful. So until you are willing to take a look at how you live and where you live from inside yourself and not blame your life for it or your luck, but to begin to see how your life works in the honor and the respect of what it is that life truly authenticates inside of us as love, you'll just go from one circumstance to another. So, to answer your question in a nutshell, if you want to fix your life, you have to transcend it. You can't just fix it. It isn't something you go in and say, I'll replace this that is broken with this that is better. That's not the way it works. The way it works is you transcend your own mind. You transcend your emotions. You live beyond thought, instinct, impulse. You do not let your life be the result of impulse, opinion, your own or others. You work upon yourself. You live in the pause, the gap, the space. And you are quiet in there, and you make sure there is enough quietude in your life to make love possible. I hope that helps you, Abel. And thank you for listening to me and your kind words. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Nellie. She does not tell me where she lives, but her question is a really good one. How do I forgive? Nellie, forgiveness is a lifestyle, not something that I pronounce upon my life. It is not some grandioso thing where I look at someone or something or myself and say, I forgive you. You, Nellie and Greg cannot forgive. But you can learn how to live in forgiveness as a lifestyle. Whenever I say to someone, I forgive you, I am not telling the truth, because Greg cannot forgive. Forgiveness is the flow of your life. It is putting love ahead of everything. No matter what a person does, it is having the insight and the compassion to put love ahead of everything. Love ahead of somebody's misunderstanding. Love ahead of somebody's cruelty. Love ahead of someone's anger and hostility. You have to be the result of love, not the idea of pronouncing forgiveness upon people, because forgiveness is not pronouncing. It is the evolution inside of a person of realizing that most of us live in this world where we know not what we do. So if you're going to forgive, it has to be how you live from within yourself, how you give, your generosity's at stake, your compassion is at stake. You're going to have to look at things from the point of view that no one you meet is by accident, and there are missed opportunities with people because you or I chose to take hostility and make it a lifestyle with that person, or blame them or whatever, or even blame ourselves in the same way. We have to be willing to see the way we live from within ourselves. And forgiveness is the lifestyle of a generosity, a compassion, an understanding that exceeds human belief, human bias. Now, if you're willing of that, which I hope you are, then you will find you will never have to say, I forgive you, or please forgive me, as it were, because you will be that forgiveness. You are that forgiveness. And that will emulate into your life in all sorts of ways, affecting not only your outer world, but your inner world. And you will start to realize everybody came to you in the order that was necessary for you to awaken, spiritually awaken. They came in the order to help you. And they were by your own hand. You and I made this happen. So once you truly understand that, and you can live in that order, and you can appreciate it, you will find that you generate a tremendous amount of forgiveness. And you will never even know it is forgiveness. It will be the natural flow of yourself upon your own life. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Had a good week this week with wonderful questions. If you have a question, please email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg at aspireaspire.org. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful one. I'll see you next week. Please, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.